You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along. Good to have you with us on this latest edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the action at Sandown and Doncaster on Thursday, and make sure you tune into Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. where we'll have all of the day's action covered. Yarmouth and Worcester alongside Sandown in the afternoon, then into the evening Newbury, Doncaster and a couple of Irish cards as well from Leopardstown and Limerick to get your teeth stuck into on Thursday. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast, Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
I'm very good indeed, Sam. Good to be joining you on the, I'm going to call it the Pimcast now, not the podcast, because every time I'm here, he seems to do it for me, doesn't he?
You're only here once a week.
Leave the knife, you know. Yeah. I'm only here once a week. Isn't it enough for the listener?
You're a man in demand.
You know, poor listener. I feel sorry for him. But anyway.
The reason we do this podcast, what does the listener do when you're not on air? They need to have this on demand.
He'll listen to somebody who knows what they're on about. That's what he'll listen to, poor fellow, won't he?
I don't believe
he'll
that.
He'll be happy.
I don't believe that for a second, Pimmers. A bit of news to get stuck into, first of all. Then over the last couple of days, we've seen the news in the Post that the 2018 fixture schedule is going to be revamped. There's been a few more incentives announced yesterday for trainers and owners running their horses. A little bit extra prize money to try and keep the field sizes up as well. And the latest news that's come out today is that they're going to attempt to tailor the fixture list a little, not tailor it, but be aware of the football calendar as well, the Premier League football calendar, and try and drum up some more betting on weekends when there's perhaps not Premier League football, which sounds a sensible suggestion.
I don't know what's going on, really. I really don't know what's going on, because the powers that be seem to be putting their heads together and coming up with some quite sensible ideas, don't they? Whether the fixture list needed to be made any larger, I'm not so sure about that. But to be fair, there's lots of positives out of what they're saying. Value of the race is going up, prize money down to a little bit further, generating some more quality racing when the football season's finished. So, yeah, I think there's lots of good stuff to come out of it. Again, interesting that ARC delays its decision on the BH target of £6,000, a minimum race value. Only ARC could do that, couldn't they? You know what I mean? They are the meanest of them all, that is for sure. We'll watch this space. But I think it's positive, to be honest. And I think, again, they're trying to, you know, give everybody a little slice of the cake, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. And I think one of the points John Babb was making on Racing Radio yesterday, Pimmers, was that with the increase in fixtures, there's going to be more opportunities for the lesser-rated horse, for the 60-rated horse now, than there perhaps was.
I'm not so sure I want to go down that road, though.
I don't want more dross. Low-grade racing.
Yeah, I mean, somebody loves that animal. It's their pride and joy, I know. But really and truly, do we really want that standard? I'm not so sure about that. On the other hand, it creates betting turnover and it keeps another race. And, you know, there's, again, lots of positives for it. But really and truly, why we need to pander to the lower end, I'm not so sure. We should be really trying to lift the top end for me.
Okay. I suppose some would say you don't have to watch it, you don't have to bet on it if it's
oh, exactly.
Not
and listen,
your bag.
And listen, as I say, you know, the horse rated 45-50 is as much somebody's pride and joy as something that's running in the Derby. So, you know, we've got to, again, provide something for everybody, but whether we want to provide lesser rather than better, I'm not so sure.
I suppose if you're a small-time owner, you've purchased your first horse, it isn't going to be a Group 1 horse. You still want opportunities to run that horse.
Oh, yeah, but I think you'll find there's plenty of opportunities to run that type of horse. No two ways about that. But, you know, we need them because the smaller horse keeps the smaller trainer in living, that keeps the smaller jockey in living. So it's all part of that gravy train, isn't it? They've just got to keep going around that track.
It is.
Keeps us in work.
Yeah,
doesn't mean, you know what I mean? If there's no racing,
which is the most important thing.
Yeah, if there's no racing, there's no Pimcast.
No.
Skint again.
Exactly. I'd have to do some hard work.
Well, you don't want to do that, young fella.
Exactly. Absolutely.
No, if you can at all possible throughout your life get away without putting a shift in. Keep at it.
So right, at the top end of the grading ladder, then we've got a big Group One coming up this weekend. The King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes set for Saturday at Ascot. And the big news breaking on Wednesday morning is the fact that John Gosden has confirmed the participation of the Jewel Oaks heroine in Abel, who tops the betting now at 6-5. Highland Reel, the big drifter, at 4-1. 5-1 Jack Hobbs, Idaho is 9s, and it's 10-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. We saw Togruder take on the boys in this race after winning the Oaks a few years ago, Pimmers, and ran them ragged.
Yeah, she did indeed, and Abel certainly is in a position to do that as well, to be pretty honest. She obviously gets the allowances. She was very, very impressive in the Irish Oaks, and who knows, there could be a little bit more to come from her. I think this, again, is an interesting article in the Racing Post today by Julian Muscat regarding Highland Reel, and that he's never really got the recognition he deserved, to be fair, the poor fella.
For a multiple Group 1 winner, yeah. he's not as popular as he perhaps should be.
He should be, yeah. I mean, in his article, you know, he's third highest prize money behind Cirrus de Eagles and Trev, winning nearly £6 million, you know. And yet, Highland Reel?
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? But there you go. It's just how sometimes you can be sexy and other times you're not. And for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to be. But he's a high-class racehorse, that is for sure. And again, he'll go there with a massive chance, as too would Jack Hobbs. Ulysses obviously won the Eclipse last time out. He'd be a player as well. I think the big thing is, more than likely, if the forecast is correct, we're due quite a bit of rain today.
Yeah.
Little bit of rain again tomorrow. And that just might make the ground a little bit on the easy side, and that is something that you will need to factor in, you know. I think as we record mid-afternoon on that Wednesday afternoon, already Sandown tonight has gone to soft. So they've definitely had that rain that way on.
Yes, indeed. And as you mentioned, with the rain coming, there's been support for some of those horses who perhaps prefer a bit of cut in the ground. Jack Hobbs is 6s into 5s, and My Dreamboat, 50-1, has become 20-1 in the last couple of days. So people having a real go at My Dream.
Well, that's right. Again, more than likely, he was too big at 50-1,
perhaps,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
But more than likely, he's realistic now at 20-1, as you say, with the rain coming. So, again, a fascinating race in prospect. I would love Enable to win, simply to make her a bit of a superstar.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. It would be very good to see, indeed. Anything else on your mind then before we move on to Thursday's action?
Not particularly. It's pretty steady away now, isn't it? A little bit of mundane racing. It's the Yorkshire Festival, which so far has shed us no superstars at all. It's been absolute garbage. A little bit better at the weekend with York turning up. And obviously then we look forward to the Galway Festival.
Yeah.
Glorious Goodwood. Kicks off again then, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed. Ever been to Galway?
Yes, indeed.
Full 7 days?
No, listen, no. Young fella, I couldn't manage that in my heyday, let alone now when I'm an old man. But one place I haven't been, and I would love to go, Glorious Goodwood.
Oh, right, yeah. I've heard it's really,
it's
really good.
Absolutely good. Stunning. All my pals who are involved with racing have all been said it's the meeting you've got to go to.
Yeah.
Problem is, it's from Yorkshire to Goodwood, it's a fairly long trek.
Yes.
Especially in a Reliant Robin. You know what I mean? Not an easy task. But one day before I meet my maker.
Yeah.
Going to try and go.
Okay.
If anybody's got any free tickets, William Hill Towers is where you need to send them.
Yes, indeed. It promises to be a good week of racing next week with Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival, of course. We go on to Thursday's racing now. 3 from Sandown and 1 from Doncaster to focus on. We begin at Sandown with the 2:30 race. This is a handicap over a mile and 6. Just a field of 6 runners have lined up for this, but not a bad little field here, Pimmers, and majority of the field have bringing a bit of recent winning form into the race. Gosden's dual-handed as well.
Yes, 6 runners, but very, very competitive. And again, a number of them coming into the race on the back of really good form, to be honest. Jansu, personally, I thought underachieved last time out, but he was in a very competitive handicap behind Atty Pearce at Ascot. So if there was a little bit of an issue there, we can forgive him. Prior to that, his form wasn't too bad. Great Sound has only run twice in its career, finished third last time at Salisbury. Beaten fair and square, I thought, there as well, behind On the Victory. Might need to go forward from that. Joshua Reynolds is another interesting one again. One of the duo that are trained by John Gosden. He was a readied winner, beating Mary Bob by 4.5 lengths at Newmarket. Over a mile and 5 then, steps up to a mile and 6 tomorrow. Should certainly be in his favour. Our very own James Millman's dad, Rod trains the Duke of Bronte, who was a winner last time out. That was when he beat Melting Dew by neck, again over a mile and a half. That was at Newbury, so that form's pretty good. And Nadi Attack, is that how you pronounce it?
Nadi Attack.
Well, he certainly took the eye when he won his maiden up at Carlisle 19 days ago. Obviously, he's got to take a huge step forward from that, but he's a typical Sir Michael Stout horse, isn't he? Brought along quietly, absolutely dotted up at Carlisle. Couldn't have won it any easier, to be perfectly honest. And for me, there certainly looks like there's more to come from him. So I think I'm going to side with the one that I think is going to progress the most from his previous run, and that's going to be a Nadi Attack.
Nadi Attack, then, the choice in the 2:30 at Sandown. We'll stay at Sandown then for their feature race, which comes up at 3:05, a listed event for the fillies over 7 furlongs here. A field of 10 lined up to contest this, and quite a few of these are lightly raced but have the potential to improve a good bit for this run.
Oh, yeah, girl power here. Long jeans. Isn't that the clock people, the watch people?
The watches, yeah.
Yeah, would you love one of them, Sam?
I wouldn't be able to afford one of them, Pimmers.
No. You'd have to learn to tell the time as well.
True, that's so very true.
Double whammy, really,
that's,
isn't it?
Next year at school, that
yeah,
is.
That would be.
Gotta get the numbers crossed.
Once you start finishing counting on your fingers, yeah, you'll be away, buddy. You will, because you'll need 12, won't you? For one of the big hands, yeah, at the top.
That's when the toes have to come into.
Oh dear, oh dear! Don't take your socks off, whatever you do. Yeah, very, very competitive Phillies listed race this, and again one or two fairly unexposed, and we've got to take a little bit of a guess of how they progress. Really, obviously, your first port of call has got to be Kate Bunting. She's ran twice, she's won twice for the Mark Johnson Yard. I thought she was very, very impressive up at Musselburgh last time out when she beat Queen Sergeant by an easy 5 lengths. So certainly could be an awful lot more to come from her. And she's certainly going to be a major player tomorrow afternoon. Of the others that I thought could be interesting, obviously the Dascombe Rummer just had one run 17 days ago in the shape of Capamento. She won at Ripon over 6 furlongs, steps up to 7 tomorrow. But again, Ripon is a very good learning curve for horses because it's got its ridge and furrow, a little bit of undulation. They really have to get themselves balanced there, and that will have done her the world of good. So she comes into the race on the back of that, thinking there could be an awful lot more to come from her. Royal Parks was another one that I thought could be a player, having ran on strongly to win at Haydock last time out. And the other one that's just lurking, that's been plying a trade in far better company, and that is So High Society. Now, she plied a trade in a Group 2 at Newmarket last time out. She's disappointed behind Clemmy, to be perfectly honest, but she was a 14-1 shot, and she was slow to go. Forgive her that, and her form was pretty solid prior to that. Again, won't have done any harm playing a trade in a Group 2 last time, because she will certainly have gained an awful lot of experience from that. So she certainly comes in as a player, if you can forgive her that slightly disappointed run in much better company yesterday. And White Fountain Fairy, is that open?
White Fountain Fairy, yeah.
Yeah, again, she was in a Group 3 last time out at Ascot when she was 17th of 20. So again, out with the washing, but she was a big, big price for that race. Prior to that, her form was pretty good. And again, coming back into listed company could well make her a player as well. But I think this one's going to go to the north in the shape of Kate Bunting.
Kate Bunting then for Mark Johnston, and William Buick gets the vote in that 3:05 at Sandown. We stay at Sandown then for one more race there. The 3:40 comes up next. This is a handicap over 1 mile and 1 furlong. It's a Class 4 event at Sandown, and we've got a field of 8 at the time of recording, so hopefully the dead 8 stand their ground, as it could open up a nice each-way shape to the race. And a few of these, again, Pimmers, coming here off the back of pretty decent runs last time.
Well, exactly, yeah. You've got Silver Ghost, who's coming here looking for a hat-trick of wins, having won last time out at Epsom over 1 mile and 2, just shy of that tomorrow, the trip. Certainly a player. We like Eve Johnson-Houghton as a trainer, so definitely a player for me, Silver Ghost. Right down the bottom, you've got High Draw, who was a winner at Fontainebleau last time out. So travel to France to gain that success there. And again, Carl Burke's horse has been in good form of late. And the other one that I'm really looking forward to watching tomorrow is Iron Hollow, who, again, kept on really well here at Sandown last time to beat Buzz by 2¾ lengths. And I think he looks like the progressive profile here. So looking forward to watching the race, because I think one or two of these are quite interesting. But I do think that Iron Hollow could be the one.
Ian Haller then for Roger Charlton, with Paddy Pilly claiming £5 off that one's back. Final race on the podcast then comes from Doncaster. This is the 750 Phillies handicap over 7 furlongs. 7 runners down to contest this. I'm off to Doncaster tomorrow, Pimmers. So
are you really?
I'm clinging on your every word.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Is there a pop group on or anybody tomorrow? What day is it?
No, it's Thursday. Thursday tomorrow. I think there is someone on after racing, but I won't be staying for that.
Of course. Well, it'd be late, won't it?
Well, it'd be very, very late. I might have to leave before the
before the last.
Yeah.
Of course you will. You'll be bedtime. Your mum will have your milk ready. yeah, competitive Phillies handicap here. To be honest, again, you could make a case for all seven of them of late. Courier ran well enough, I thought, behind Roberto at Pontefract last time out. Bintocano was third at Haydock Park over 7 furlongs, same trip as tomorrow. And then we had Bahamadan. And also Savannah Slough. They both ran against each other last time out. That was in a Phillies listed race at Carlisle. Both were biggest prices, 8-1 and 12-1 respectively. And again, this will be slightly easier tomorrow, but whether they'll be competitive off their marks remains to be seen. But prior to that run at Carlisle, they both had been winners. So, you know, they're in reasonable form, that's for sure. And just looking right down the bottom at Miss Sheridan, she's been in cracking form of late. She was a 2-1 favourite when she got beat by Trilliant at Haydock last time out. That was over a mile. I think dropping back to the 7 furlongs could well be in her favour tomorrow. And this is yet another meeting, part of the Go Yorkshire, Go Racing in Yorkshire Festival, isn't it, at Donny tomorrow night. And I'm hoping that Bintocano can get the job done for Julie Camacho and Joe Doyle.
Bintocano gets the pick then for the PIM in the 750 at Doncaster. Thank you very much for that then, Pimmers. We'll speak again soon and enjoy the racing on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.